You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Monday, July 26th, and I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. Today's episode is brought to you by a fun little event coming up on Friday. The MLB trade deadline is approaching, and the Locked On MLB YouTube channel will be streaming the Hot Stove live, 2 hours of MLB trade analysis from our Locked On lineup of local experts. Subscribe to Locked On MLB on YouTube and tune in July 30th, beginning at 3 p.m. Eastern. Really looking forward to that, and that leads me into what is maybe the biggest week for the Twins of the last couple years, and that includes playoff series, because this week could define the next 5 or even 10 years of the Minnesota Twins franchise, honestly, and how the organization fares on the field, off the field, and otherwise over the next week. This is Nash Walker, writer at Twins Daily, lifelong Twins fan. You can follow me on Twitter at NashWalker9. You can follow the show at Lockdown Twins. And I'm covering trade deadline stuff all week. I've surpassed 400 episodes now with this podcast. Started at the end of the 2019 season, rolled through the pandemic, and covered every game in 2020 in the shortened season, and have done so thus far in through late July in 2021. And I've enjoyed every second of it. I haven't enjoyed the Twins season and the brutal season that they've been having, but I have enjoyed talking Twins every day through the good, the bad, and the ugly. And this week could end up being any of those three. It could end up being a good thing for the organization long term if they make some trades, or if they don't make some trades. It could be a bad thing if they do make some trades, some bad trades, or maybe they don't make trades and that's bad long term, or maybe it's ugly and it's really bad. Any of those things are in play, and I think that is why it's such a tenuous week. Like, you can feel the tension, and there's also this underlying frustration, I think, among fans. We're going to get to the game tonight as well. Twins walk-off win at home against the Tigers. We'll talk about that a little bit, and you know, some developments from games recently. But the trade deadline, I mean, this is what we're doing this week, and it's such a big thing for the Twins. And as I was saying, there's an underlying frustration for me, and I think among the fan base. Like, there's a holding of the breath for sure, but there's also an underlying frustration of, like, how did we get here? How did this happen where we're talking about trading Byron Buxton when he has a year and a half left of service? We're talking about trading Jose Barrios. He has a year and a half left of service. He's in his prime. You know, he's pitching some of the best baseball of his life right now, and we're talking about trading him. Why are we talking about trading Josh Donaldson in year two of a four-year deal that the Twins are supposed to compete in, and he was supposed to be the piece that would help them do that? And he's been good at the plate, and he had a nice night tonight. We'll talk about him a little bit as well. But why are we talking? Why did the Twins trade Nelson Cruz halfway through the season? Like, what got us here? And what it was is the Twins played themselves into this situation. So no one feels bad for the Twins. I don't feel bad for the Twins. I don't feel bad for the Twins front office. I don't feel bad for the organization. I feel bad for the fans. I feel bad for us because, you know, we deserve better than what's been on the field this year. And we deserve better than a last place club. And we deserve better than a team that often doesn't show fight. And I've talked about that a lot this year as well. But it's a tenuous week. It's a tenuous week because it's going to define the next direction of this franchise and of this front office and what they do. And most importantly, what they do with Jose Barrios and Buxton, as I mentioned, and Taylor Rogers and Donaldson, the best players on the team, all being discussed, it seems, in trades, or at least in trade rumors. And I will start out by saying Thad Levine was on an interview, WCCO, I think it was Sunday morning, and he really made it sound like the Twins are going to try to compete in 2022. And I've made the case that they should. And I'm not certain that they're going to be on paper close to the White Sox before the season, or at least in the preseason. But I think on paper, they can be better than the other three teams in the division. And I think with an expanded playoff, the format will be different. I'm confident the format will be different. They can get in and make some noise, because I'm also a believer that you get into the postseason, anything can happen, and you're just trying to bid. You're trying to get your bid. I mean, anything can happen. You can lose 18 games in a row in the postseason. I mean, crazy things happen. Like, not like Twins fans would know about that, but you get in, you see what happens, and I think if you have any chance, if you have enough talent on your roster, you feel like you do, to make a playoff push, you complete it with some more pieces to get you over that hump where you feel confident that the team can be above 500 or well above 500 to make the playoffs. But with the expanded postseason, with the way the rest of the division looks, and I know the Tigers are playing better baseball. I still look at their lineup, and I don't see one single player that I'm confident can be a part of their future other than Eric Haas. And I know they have some nice prospects coming up. Pitching prospects, it's never linear with those guys either. And I think AJ Hinch is a good manager, and I think he's done a good job. But this doesn't mean that I think the Tigers are going to compete next year, even in the year after. I mean, they got to see a lot more from the Tigers. The Royals ended up being really bad this year. You know, people really liked them preseason. I didn't. Cleveland, you never know what they're doing. They're going to have the pitching, but who knows what they do with Jose Ramirez? Who knows what's going on with them? They're always going to kind of hover around 500, or it feels like they will. So the Twins still have an opportunity if they want to complete. And right now, like, it's a shell going into 2022, but at least it's a shell if you keep Barrios and Buxton and Donaldson and all these guys. It's and Rogers and others, Maeda. It's a shell that you can work with, and it's a shell that you can fill in. And you're going to need some luck. You're going to need some progression from your rookies and from hitters in the lineup and from pitchers and from prospects. You're going to need those things, but it's feasible. I think it's feasible. Some don't think it's feasible, but just the factor of the expanded postseason, the division being poor, I think the Twins can get themselves back into the conversation here next year. And it sounded like that, Levine, that's their plan. That's what it sounds like, is their plan. And I think that potentially could change this week. And I felt a shifting of that today, more so than other days. I felt a shifting of that with just how much steam it seems there is around Jose Barrios in the contract and Byron Buxton in the contract, who said today he wants to stay. And I've said it on the podcast before. I'm of the belief that Byron Buxton wants to stay and be a member of the Minnesota Twins. He just wants to get paid. And more so than Jose, or less so, excuse me, than Jose Barrios, he probably, you know, the free agency might be less important to him. Jose, he wants to get to free agency because starting pitchers just, I mean, and Buxton too, like if he could stay healthy and get to free agency, he's going to get paid a boatload. But Barrios, it seems like, has been much more staunch about getting to free agency than Buxton has been. But with everything surrounding those negotiations with Barrios, with teams that need starting pitching, with teams that are in the hunt, with teams with a massive pressure like the New York Yankees or the Mets or other teams that need to make pushes, it just seems like a team's going to come forward and make a big deal. Let me give you my updated odds of how you know likely it is that Twins are traded. Because last week I gave some odds. I talked about trading Taylor Rogers. We've had episodes. You can go back, mock trades for Jose Barrios. It won't be what it is, but just what I think the Twins should be looking for and other things. But let me give you my updated odds because it really did shift for me today after the break. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball are all in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline's your online sportsbook experts. With Major League Baseball, there's action every single day. Use that promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 50% off on your first deposit, or 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Excuse me. Thank you, BetOnline, for sponsoring Locked On and for sponsoring Locked On Twins. BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert, the fastest and easiest way. Use promo code Locked On. I think, yes, and I know when the trade deadline comes, there's so much speculation. There's so many rumors. And Dickie and LaTroy were talking about on the broadcast tonight. They're like, 99% of these trades never happen. And I understand that, but you look at the market for Jose Barrios, and when we looked at trading Jose Barrios in a separate episode, multiple episodes we've talked about the Twins trading Jose Barrios, the sheer demand out there for starting pitching and controllable starting pitching, Jose Barrios is going to cost like $8, $10 million next year in his last year of arbitration. I mean, that's so affordable and cheap for a guy of his caliber, and I'm not saying he's a $30 million a year pitcher, but he's certainly a $20, $25 million a year pitcher, and you're going to get him for 10 next year in arbitration, whatever the number is. That's a great deal. And I think teams recognize that. And I think teams recognize that, oh boy, we could use him down the stretch this year too. And when you look back at the shortened season last year and the pressure that put on arms, I think you're going to see teams are going to come forward this week and put legitimate offers on the table for Jose Berríos, and I think it's going to be difficult for Favi Levine and the Twins front office to turn down some of those offers or not turn down or to turn down maybe one of them that they really like. I think it's going to be difficult. I think Buxton's a little bit different just because his trade value is not the highest it could be. Right now he's on the injured list. So ideally, if you're going to trade Byron Buxton, which I don't think they should do, I've talked a lot about a Buxton extension as well. I don't think they should trade Byron Buxton. I'm not sure they should trade Jose Berríos either. I'm much more open to trading Berríos than I am Buxton, just because I think Buxton as an everyday player is amazing. And I think he's a guy that you want to build around. I'm not saying Berríos is not. I've lobbied for a Berríos extension as well to pay him. But I think I'm much more open to the idea of trading Berríos because his value may never be higher than it is today. I mean, his value is very, very high for all those reasons I mentioned, with teams needing innings, teams needing guys like Berríos who can go deep into games to fill out rotations. You look at the Dodgers in a three-team race in the NL West. You look at the Padres and the Giants who could all use Jose Berríos and probably are in a little bit of a war to see who can get him or Max Scherzer. And that's another factor, like Max Scherzer being on the market kind of takes away some of that luster for Jose Berríos, but we'll see. I mean, I still think that there's a huge market for him. The price is high, as it should be. I mean, it should be really high for Jose Berríos, but it'll be interesting. I last week said 70% chance I thought Jose Berríos would stay, and I'm going to shift that to 50-50, and I might even be 51-49 that he gets traded. I'm not sure I fully believe that in my heart because I believe and trust, and it's been faded a little bit in Thad Levine and Derek Falvey and what they say to fans. And if Thad Levine's saying we're going to go for it in 2022 again, which he did say, he said basically they're looking for a retool, not a rebuild, then that tells me that they're not going to trade Berríos. But you keep that in mind, knowing all of the factors that come back the other way. There's so much momentum the other way, it feels like, with the Buxton news. With Taylor Rogers tonight, I mean, Taylor Rogers tonight sprained his middle finger. It's a little worrisome. We'll talk about that a little bit too. But I think Berríos has shifted to 50-50 for me. I wouldn't be surprised, I don't think, either way. I think something will probably surprise us this week, whether that's a Max Kepler trade, whether it's that they don't trade anyone who's not under control for next year, or that who is under control for next year. I think we're going to be surprised by some things, but I honestly wouldn't be surprised either way on a Jose Berríos deal. I might be slightly surprised if they do it, just because that'd be a direct contradiction to what they said they were going to do, which is try next year. And if you trade Berríos, it's going to be really difficult with just Kenta Maeda coming back and Bailey Ober to rebuild that rotation. It's much easier to start with Maeda and Berríos and fill it in than it is to just start with Maeda, who you're not even sure about either. So it would be a contradiction. I'd be slightly surprised, but I wouldn't be flabbergasted, because I think it is 50-50 at this point. Again, I don't think it's overly likely, but I think more so now than ever, I feel like Berríos could be on the move. I think Buxton's about the same. I think I said 70-30 for Buck or 80-20 for Buck. I don't think they're going to trade him at the deadline, just because I don't think his value's high. He'd probably be the most expensive player on the market who's potentially available if he's traded. But I just don't think it would be wise for the Twins to trade and sell low right now on him when he's on the injured list. I think if you're going to do it, you do it in the offseason. So I'm going to keep his relatively low for now. Taylor Rogers, I think, has adjusted the most because he got hurt tonight. Middle finger sprain. And that basically, I think, takes him out of the running to be traded this week, unless it's something extremely mild. But we've seen guys out for prolonged periods with finger strains and finger sprains. So I think Taylor Rogers could be the one who's staying when it looked like he was the 1 2-year deal guy, or, you know, one more year on his contract that was definitely gone. I think the Rogers odds have dropped in terms of whether he'll be traded. The 1 year deal guys, I think, are all gone. Robles, Simmons, Colomé had a blow up again tonight in the ninth inning coming in for Rogers cold. He's been put in some tough spots this year too, and I honestly feel a little bad for him. But just brutal. And he was pretty good since May 1st. I think Dan Hayes had a number. He's an ERA below 4. So he's pretty good. But just the wins probability added is so bad. He gives up home runs in the worst spots. Robbie Grossman, old friend, doing it to him. Let's talk about this game after the break. It was a fun walk-off win for the Twins. Up and down game. And we saw some fun developments from a young slugger. Stick around. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate and they're soft and easy to chew. Built Bar has 12 original flavors, but they've added 6 new flavors as well. And these improved Built Bars are even deliciouser. Plus, Built Bars are healthy. Built Bar is great for the health conscious guy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, full of protein, full of fiber, and great for a keto diet. And the peanut butter bar, only 5 grams of net carbs for a type 1 diabetic like me. That is huge. Plus, right now, Built Bar has reset the promo code for this relaunch, so listen closely. You get a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. If you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, you also get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. My favorite flavors include the coconut almond, the peanut butter, the banana bread. Use promo code LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com. I'm really excited about the opportunity that Brent Rooker has here in Minnesota. I think he's going to get run, and I think with Nelson Cruz gone, he's going to be the primary DH. And Rocco's got him hitting second. I really like that, you know, because he can walk, he's got the power, and you get him more at bats. And I'm excited to see what Rook does with it, because I'm a believer in Brent Rooker, and I know a lot are not believers in his profile, and I'm skeptical of his profile as well. Low batting average in AAA, big time power, strikes out too much. Miguel Sano profile for sure. And I talked to him about that in an interview like a year and a half ago during the pandemic. We talked about his profile being similar to Miguel Sano. And that's not a slight on him, because we see what Sano can do and what he's capable of. And we've seen in the last 2 days what Brent Rooker is capable of, and that's hitting monstrous home runs. I mean, this is power. He's long, I think in the last 3 or so years, he's been pegged as being the most powerful hitter in the Twin system. And for good reason. I think he's one of the most powerful hitters in the minor leagues when he's down in AAA. He hits home runs that other guys just can't hit. He gets to the triple deck at Target Field 2 days in a row. Tonight, 460 feet. Crushed a hanging curveball from Matt Manning. Josh Donaldson also got into one to center field. Gleeman had a tweet tonight. Josh Donaldson, third in the American League in OPS this year. Rafael Devers, Jose Ramirez, the only two above him. And he's played an 80 out of 90 games since returning from the injured list. Donaldson's been really good. Not in big spots a ton, but he's been really good offensively. And it's hard to argue with that. The contract, I think, warps people's perception and opinion of him. And the losing warps people's perception and opinion of him. Because the Twins are losing, they want to blame the highest paid player. And that's not fair to Donaldson. Do I think he's been amazing? No, because he hasn't hit in those spots that we've needed him to a lot this year. But offensively, just baseline has been really good. Rooker, I'm excited. Again, I'm excited to see what he can do. I'm excited to see if he takes control of this opportunity. Mitch Garver has been great since coming back. He has a baby. Gamble Garver, I believe, is his son's name. Very exciting for them. And Garver's just, I mean, this is the best he's looked at the plate since 2019. And he just continued on from coming back from that brutal injury. He's hitting the lights out of the ball right now, taking great at-bats, taking walks, hitting for power, crushing fastballs, 2 doubles in his first 2 at-bats tonight. OPS is 907 in 45 games this year. Garver's been really, really good, and that's a great sign, and I thought that would be the case this year. He had a really tough April. It looked like he was going to continue on from his 2020 struggles, but he's turned it around in a huge way at the plate, and he's given the Twins a ton of value there out of the catcher spot. You can bat him fifth. You can bat him second against lefties. You can bat him leadoff against lefties. He's a dynamic hitter, and I think in some ways, like Sano, just has to get dialed in, and his droughts are not as brutal as Sano. But it was similar in 2020 when he's not timed up or when he's not fully healthy, especially not fully healthy for any guy. It's really hard for him, and once he starts timing up fastballs and he's hitting those fastballs in the zone, he's really tough to beat because, in my opinion, other than Donaldson and when Nelly was here, no one takes a better at-bat than Mitch Garver. And Luis Arraez as well. I mean, there's a bunch of guys who take great at-bats. I mean, Luis Arraez might be one of the best in Twins history in terms of just at-bat to at-bat. But Garver's up there with them, man. Like, he takes great at-bats. He spits on pitches. He's geared to beat your mistakes. And that's kind of how Rooker is, too. And that's how Josh Donaldson is as well. So there's some similarities between the three righties there. And Sano, and I mean, all four of them are similar in that way. But I think for Garver, it's just great to see. And I made the case this offseason that the Twins should look into extending Garver. I know he's older, and I know Jeffers is coming up. But I just think I would invest in Mitch Garver because I love the approach. And I think when he's on, very few catchers are as good as he is. And he just has easy power. Like, he just stroked a double off the right field wall tonight. It looked like he barely swung. Like, it's just such a pretty compact swing. When he gets into it, it's a fun thing to watch. Michael Pinedo was really good tonight in his last start as a Twin, potentially. Definitely his last start as a Twin this year. 100% Michael Pinedo is getting moved in the next week unless something crazy happens. And I said today in my postgame, you can look at my little video at Locked On Twins, and I also retweeted it at NashWalker9. I think a lot of his time here was really positive, and I think he loves it in Minnesota. And I think I said that in my episode. And then he said today, it's home. I want to be here. You know, and I believe him. The way that he re-signed with the Twins after the suspension, I think he took some pride in the Twins believing in him on that first two-year deal that he was rehabbing in the first year. They made an investment in him for the second year in 2019, and he was their most reliable starter down the stretch in 2019. And I think more than anything with Michael Pineda and his time as a Twin, he, more times than not, gave you a chance to win every fifth day. Every fifth day he was given the ball, he often gave the Twins a chance to win. And he had some stretches where he wasn't great, but he was consistent for a lot of it, and he was really solid for the Twins. And I think both those signings, his first two-year deal and his second two-year deal, ended up being great values for the Twins, and then it'll be added on that they'll get a prospect or two out of him as well. And I think he's going to go help a playoff team, and I wish him the best. I hope he's back. I like Michael Pineda a lot. Like watching him pitch, the command is excellent. Commands all three pitches so well, and I thought he pitched great tonight in what was probably his last outing in a Twins uni. But really fun walk-off win. Max Kepler gets one. Kenta Maeda runs in the 10th inning. Twins are running out of bench options. I didn't think it was that big of a deal. It's like Garver could have ran, but Kenta was out there. He was smiling. It's a lost season. Let's just have some fun, and Max finishes it up. Great win. It was fun for the home fans, and you know, it's fun when they win, and hopefully they can have a winning week here with the trade deadline looming and potentially to ease some of that pain from losing fan favorites. But we'll see. Stick around. We'll be covering it all week. Follow me on Twitter again, @LockedOnTwins, @NashWalker9, and go Twins.